Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at myfuturecoach.com and follow me on Twitter at Coach Andrew. If you're listening live tonight, June 11th. I don't even know what date it is. You could just pretend I didn't say that. If you have a question tonight, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. You'll be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press the number 1, I'll know you have a question. We also have a live chat room right on the show page where you can feel free to join in. My guest tonight is Elaine Lockard, founder of New Path for Life. Elaine is a coach, consultant, intuitive business mentor, professional intuitive and healer who knows firsthand that the knowledge of self is the greatest asset and most vital key to all transformation and healing one desires. She expertly and compassionately guides and supports her clients to discover the unique treasure of self-knowledge, thus allowing them to banish fears, gain self-trust and confidence, grow and shine in their gifts and abilities, and be able to choose for themselves and stand proudly in every aspect of who they are and their life. For more information on how Elaine can help you shine light of knowledge on your life, visit her website at elainelockard.com. Elaine, are you with me?
I certainly am. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Were you able to hear all those ambulances that were just passing?
Yes, I sure did.
Okay. I was really hoping that somehow nobody heard that.
That's what you get for living in a big city.
I live in a big city. I live right opposite a major metropolitan hospital, and they sometimes time the ambulances to my show. So I could be sitting here all night and nothing, and the moment I start my show, there must have been about 4 or 5 of them. So
well,
anyway, here we are off to a very loud start.
Okay.
But welcome. Where are you calling from tonight?
I am in Newport News, Virginia, which is in the southeastern part of Virginia.
Now, Newport News, every time I hear that city, I always think that is it a town or a newspaper?
It is a corporated city.
Uh-huh.
And it comes from Captain Christopher Newport.
Oh.
And the news is some story about him receiving some news when he was here exploring back in the early settling days, and so it was called Newport News.
Ah, there was a newspaper called the Newport News News?
No, actually it's called the Daily Press.
Ah, okay. See, if I were in charge, it would be the Newport News News.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay. Anyway, I'm glad to have you here. You're very welcome. And so, you know, when I was giving your little bio, you have a lot of is-is. Elaine is a coach, a consultant, intuitive business mentor, professional, intuitive, and healer. So I'd like to kind of go through those and tell me what a little bit more. Like, obviously, I, as a coach, know what a coach is. Most everyone would know what a consultant is, although I'd like to hear what you consult in. And what do some of these other things mean?
Well, an intuitive business mentor, I am a professional intuitive. Some people might consider that psychic, although I don't particularly care to use the word myself,
mm-hmm.
because I don't predict. I talk
mm-hmm.
about possibility.
Okay.
And so an intuitive business mentor, not only do I use my intuition to help people in their businesses, both practically and spiritually,
mm-hmm.
but I also work with a lot of conscious, sensitive, intuitive people in business.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I'm the professional intuitive, the healer. I'm actually a certified healing practitioner. I have my papers as well as being a certified metaphysician. And I'm trained in numerous healing modalities. So that's where the healer part comes in.
Okay. And I'd like to get an idea, like, when did you, well, first of all, when did you know that you were intuitive?
Probably back in my early teens,
mm-hmm.
I started getting some inkling. And then as the teen years wore on, little things would crop up that were indicators.
Like what?
Say when my grandfather passed away. I woke up in the middle of the night, knew something was wrong, didn't know what was wrong or why I was feeling the way I did. And about a minute after I woke up, the phone rang in my parents' bedroom, and I was immediately out of bed and dressed before my dad ever got to the door, saying that something was wrong with my grandfather, and he'd had a major stroke.
Hmm. Okay. And so what was the effect on you when you started to notice this?
Curiosity. I became even more curious to know about it. I at one time even thought about studying paranormal research in the parapsychology department at Duke University
mm-hmm.
for my college studies. I was very curious about it all.
And so what did you first start to discover when you were up there?
Well, I didn't go to Duke. I
mm-hmm.
thought about it, but I decided not to. Other things kind of got in the way.
Ah.
But I've always been interested in the paranormal and ESP, psychology, sociology. My college major was in sociology with a minor in psychology.
Hmm.
And I'm interested in people, how things tick, logistics. I'm actually a very detailed, practical person. I like watching things on the History Channel and Discovery Channel and learning facts and figures and things of that sort. So I'm just innately curious.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that that has a lot of actual evidence that it exists, and then when you start experiencing it firsthand and having the confirmations come in that whatever you experienced was correct, then it makes you even more curious, or it makes me even more curious. And so I just started down that path of developing my spiritual side and really got into it in earnest in 1985.
Mm-hmm. So that's a while. That's closing in on 30 years.
Yes. Yes.
And so what are some of the things that have come up for you that you can share that have been, especially for other people maybe that you've come across that have been really amazing or eye-opening?
In terms of what?
In terms of, you know, any of the things that you have done with this particular gift that, you know, stand out for you as there was this time that happened, or somebody said to me, this was amazing that you were able to feel that.
Well, I have to give you a sentimental story.
Sure.
When I was in high school, 10th grade, that's when the soap opera Dark Shadows was on.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, being interested in things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a tarot deck, and I was playing with it, knew nothing about it, had the book out, followed everything by the book, you know, all the meanings and definitions all went by the book. You laid it out by the book. Wasn't doing anything on my own. And a group of us used to get together and play cards during lunch before math class. And one of the acquaintances I just knew from being in the class, one of the guys, said, yeah, okay, you can give me a reading. And I laid it out by the book, and I read it, what these cards were supposed to mean, and I told him what I thought it meant from what the cards were meaning. And this person was very, very introverted, very shy and to himself. Well, after class, he pulled me aside and told me something very deeply personal about himself
mm-hmm.
to confirm to me that I had hit the nail dead on the head with him.
Mm.
That person turned out to be my husband, and we've been together 40 years now.
Wow. I guess you could literally say it was in the cards for you, too.
Yeah, I guess you could. So that's my sentimental favorite, but I've had many a times where people will confirm to me that I have picked up something that was correct for them. And I use my intuition all the time in the coaching so that I can help people develop, you know, different perceptions around things and
mm-hmm.
and to really get down to the core of what's going on at a level that they've not been able to access. That's where the consultant comes in, actually.
Okay.
Because not only can I be a consultant as a regular business consultant, but I also do intuitive consultations. I have my old deck of tarot cards plus 7 additional decks, and I can use them to help get in deeper on what's going on with a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because that knowledge is kind of buried underneath is kind of the jewel in the treasure chest that you're really trying to get to so that you can start helping them with their transformation. And you know yourself as a coach, sometimes you can talk with a person to try to really find out what that core is, and they're not really certain, so you can kind of go around and around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But taking a angular approach in to like the intuitive consultations, then you can get to that little core nibble, that little nugget, and start shining some light in looking at, okay, where is this coming from, and giving them a whole different perspective in which to approach it from. And it really is quite useful in opening up and getting to the heart of a matter very quickly.
Mm. So this thing could be very very enlightening for some people.
It has been. It has very well been. And it surprises me at times. It totally surprises me as to what comes up. I can pull a card for someone, and I'm going, what the heck does this mean? It's nowhere this is going to apply to this person, you know, my
mm-hmm.
you know, human judgment and perception of them. And they'll turn right around and tell me something, and it'll be complete confirmation. I had a client one time, a very proper, straight-laced, conservative person, was an accountant, and I pulled a card that was supposed to be a representative card for them, and the card was a yoga card. And I'm sitting there going, yoga? No, this doesn't fit. Not 5 minutes into the conversation, they had gone to their first yoga class that weekend.
Wow.
So things like that are always popping up.
Sure. Well, that's very cool.
Yeah, it is. I have fun. I have fun with my
mm-hmm.
work. It helps
now,
people have fun.
do you mix and match some of these things that you do together, the mentoring, the intuitivists, the healing, consulting? Are these things that you that overlap, or are they kind of separate areas for you?
They all overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And I use whatever techniques, information, knowledge that I already know or that I intuitively get when I'm working with someone to craft whatever is necessary for them.
Mm, okay.
So everything comes to the fore. When I'm working with someone, everything's on the table.
Nice.
There's nothing out.
So you have a very unique toolbox.
Quite. Now I could think you talk about the is-is. Those is-is could have gone on for a long time.
and I bet you have other is-is then. So what are if you were going to put a couple of more in, what might they be?
Well, author. I'm a published author on Amazon, a best-selling published author. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a certified metaphysician. I'm a certified healing practitioner. I'm a certified executive mastermind coach. I am a numerologist. Wow, it goes on and on.
Now, what does a metaphysician do?
Metaphysician is a person who has studied many different esoteric sciences
mm-hmm.
and different modalities, healing modalities, techniques, and has practiced a lot of them so that they not only understand a lot of different things, but also are more trained to do it themselves.
I'm imagining going to a metaphysician for a meta tag.
That would be cute.
Yeah.
You know, as a metaphysician, you could use another word, psychic, but...
Okay.
Like some of my training was learning how to do different healing modalities and techniques, learning how to develop my intuition, knowing how to clear homes, remove entities from people, doing something called psychometry, which is if you hold like a piece of jewelry or something that belongs to a person in your hand or possibly a photo of them, you can pick up energy and give them a reading based on that energy. So there's a whole slew thing. My whole metaphysician study took 3 years. It was a 3-year course.
And now where do you go for, what kind of a place do you go to get training in that?
I'm fortunate enough to live near a rather spiritualist community. Virginia Beach, Virginia has a lot of spiritual connections. Edgar Cayce has his Association for Enlightenment and Research there, and he was a very well-known psychic and spiritualist. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big community of spirituals over there, and there was a free spirit school that I went to there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I've heard of that, certainly of the terms. I know very small things about it, but it's a kind of a new area for me.
Well, I never thought I was going to be bringing all of this into my coaching when I started coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been very interesting for me that how it's developed.
Now, when did you start coaching?
2009, so 4 years.
And what brought you to that place, and did you get a specific training in it?
I got specific training, but what brought me to coaching was that I knew that I've been a healer all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a caregiver for my family and healer. And back in the 90s, I started with some physical challenges. And they kept me from exploring and training in some more specific healing modalities that I was interested in. So it was basically a search until it literally dropped in my lap one day. I was listening to an interview. The person mentioned they had a spiritual coach. I'd never heard of it. I went on the internet, found out about it, and I was in class the week later. And 2 weeks later, I had my business incorporated, and I hit the ground running.
Wow.
So it allows me to be in a comfort zone inside my house to deal with my physical challenges and also be able to reach out and help people internationally.
Now, is that something I can ask about, your physical challenges?
Sure.
Tell me.
Okay. I have a problem with my back that progressed into a problem in the tailbone area, which prevents me from being able to sit for long periods of time.
Mm.
So I do a lot of my work on the computer, actually laying on the floor looking up at a computer monitor.
Wow.
So we have to get creative when you have some challenges. I also have some problems with my feet, that there are days that I can't get up and around very much on my feet, and there are other days that I could go and make a quick trip to the grocery store. But that's about as far as I can go because they have, like, pain in them. And then I have some other various physical challenges and aches and pains, but those are the main ones.
I did not know this about you.
I hide it.
Yeah, you do. You do a great job. I would never guess that you have any kind of challenges like that.
Well, it's not so much that I hide it. I my mother had polio. She got polio when I was a year old, and she was my icon. She was the person I looked up to, and she showed me every day that with a little creativity and perseverance, you can find ways to do anything you set your mind out to do. And that has helped me more than anything else to meet these challenges head on. I'm healing from them. I'm healing myself from them. And it's just something you keep working on.
Mm.
And if I hadn't had that role model in her, I wouldn't be here today, I'm sure.
Well, let's be grateful for her paving the way for you then.
Yes. She was a great example.
So definitely I would like to hear, we're going to talk about numerology. Numerology is something that prior to speaking to you, I'd heard about before. I'd heard about it from a number of people. People have talked to me about it. I've read very little about it. It's certainly, for me, it's a brand new area. I would imagine for a lot of the listeners tonight, or whenever they're listening to it, it may be something completely foreign. And so first, I'd like you to explain what is numerology.
Okay, well, everybody pretty much knows what astrology is because a lot
yes.
of people read their daily horoscopes. And astrology
mm-hmm.
is how the energy of the planets and their positions affect you. Well, numerology is the same thing with numbers. And it also has a way of transposing letters to appropriate numbers. So you can take a word and take their individual numbers that match up with those letters in the word and find out the numerological significance for that word. And so it's think of it in terms of when you... There's a thing that comes up a lot of times in sci-fi, in that if you know a person's true name, you have power over them.
Mm.
So numerology, if you understand the energetic construct, then that can give you information so that you can better determine when something's right for you. And in numerology, you usually look at a person's birth name, full
mm-hmm.
birth name and birth date, to arrive at all the different calculations you can do to determine all kinds of different calculations. But you also can use numerology to check out your street address or your business name or research a child's name before it's born to see what type of influence you want to have around that. So if you want to have a business name, say you may want to have a numerological influence that's a good, strong business name, so either independent or actually have a business number or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the study of numbers and their energy and how they can affect. Because, you know, we talk. Our thoughts and our speech have energy behind them. You know, they're a creative force in our lives. And so the numerology helps to analyze that rather than looking at the planets for energy.
And so what are some typical uses for numerology that would be of interest to my listener tonight?
Well, the numerology that I do is specifically geared for my work so that people can have a better understanding of who they are. It's called a numerology soul chart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basic numbers that your birth name and your birth date comprise, as well as experiences and life lessons that your soul helped determine that it wanted you to help experience during this life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that you have to do it, so it's not necessarily a predicting tool, but it's a very practical spiritual tool to give you a lot of information about the whys, like why am I here, what's my life purpose, why do I keep experiencing the same things over again, you know, why do I react this way, why am I having, in some cases, these aches and pains, why do I have trouble doing such and such? It can talk about relationships. It's a lot of different information that you can bring to a person that helps make sense of things so that they have a good base of information to work from to overcome fears,
mm-hmm.
to overcome challenges of self-respect or self-confidence. It's just jam-packed with a lot of really good information.
And who do you typically use numerology with?
My clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the very first things I do with any client is a soul chart. If nothing more, it just provides a ton of information
mm-hmm.
for them that they can use throughout their life. But it also helps us, just as I mentioned the cards earlier, can give you a different perspective or a different angle of attack to looking at issues. This can do the same thing. And when you overlay this with your life experiences and where you are now in your life, then you really start seeing patterns and you can see solutions or ways to transform and heal those patterns so that you really can have the best life that you want and, you know, have the job that you want. It speaks to careers. It's a life purpose. I always hear people wanting to know, well, what's my purpose in life and what's my career that I'm best suited for. It can speak to all of that and help you figure things like that out. So it's quite beneficial.
Now, do you typically find, and have you ever dealt with somebody who has been, let's say, to an astrologer and then to you?
Oh, yes.
And do you typically find that you get similar kind of, I guess I'm looking for like alignment. Is there an alignment between what's coming up?
To some extent.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent. The numerology actually looks at some of the lessons in life more so than the astrology. Now, I admit that I'm not as up on astrology, but usually I don't see the challenges and the lessons, the life lessons, spelled out as clearly as the numerology can spell them out.
Right. So an interesting thing is that you have very graciously agreed to make a numerology soul chart for me, and I have it in front of me, and it's a lot of pages, and it's a lot of information. Some of it, seems to make sense. Some of it, I don't really, understand a lot of it. But right here, in front of the world, we're going to talk about this stuff.
And you have also given me permission to go wherever needs to go in the chart that you were
yes.
going to kind of lay your soul bare, I think is the way you put it.
That is right. So this is pulling back the curtain here, and we'll see where it goes.
So we're going to allow the world to see Andrew for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I thank you so much. You were most gracious to allow this to happen, and I hope I can provide you with some information. And feel free to ask as many questions as we go along. I'm going to hit the hot spots, the high spots. Normally, an analysis of your chart could take an hour or more.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to, there again, just hit some hot spots. And the chart itself covers your core elements, which are the five main numbers that rule your life. And as I said, this is a soul chart. This is things that your soul wanted for you to learn, one of the reasons it wanted to incarnate in this life, so they can learn and grow and develop.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at your challenges and also something called pinnacles, which are experiences that your soul wanted you to experience to help round out and develop yourself even more fully during your life. So let's start with the pinnacles. And the pinnacles come in four stages, and you are in your fourth stage of the pinnacles. And that pinnacle in the fourth stage is a number one. One is a number of individualism and idealism. And so having a number one for your fourth pinnacle is this is the time for you to be a leader, a pioneer, and to explore and develop new ideas.
Mm.
So when did you become a coach?
I became a coach officially. I started coaching school in 2005.
Okay.
And so I've been a coach ever since I started, within a short order after starting classes, I started coaching people.
So that would be around age what?
Wait, are you going to make me do math now?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's eight from, I'll be 57 next month. So I was 40-something.
Okay. So at around 50, 51 is when this pinnacle would have come into play. So this
okay.
is definitely in line with you.
Well, when I graduated, I would have been 51.
Okay. then you're going out on your own, you're doing your own job, your own thing. Mm-hmm. This is one of the experiences, or this type of experience would fit into a number one. Doesn't mm-hmm. mean that that's the only leader or pioneering type thing that would happen. Like doing a radio show, you
yes.
would be a pioneer and a leader. So this is a time for you to develop your qualities of independence, individualism, originality, and courage so that you can be successful.
Mm.
So that follows right along with the experiences that you're having. So let's then look at the challenges, which is your life lessons. These are much stronger than the pinnacles. And you have a main challenge that you'll go through throughout your life, and then you have some sub-challenges. Your main challenge throughout your life is a challenge of self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You want to please others. You have noticed that this is impossible. You might tend to lose yourself in relationships by sacrificing your own wishes in order to make the other person happy. Does any of this sound familiar?
To a certain extent, but on the other hand, I can be a real selfish bastard in a relationship, so I'm not sure.
Okay. And all of these you do have to look at in context
mm-hmm.
of your other numbers, yes. So, yes, that's entirely possible. But if you have already mastered the challenge of self-confidence,
mm-hmm.
then it wouldn't be as much in your life now as it used to be. But the big thing with the challenge of self-confidence is learning to trust yourself,
mm-hmm.
to please yourself first, to know who you are and be comfortable with yourself first so that you don't end up being a doormat for someone else.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm going to say that I don't – it's possible that was more present when I was younger
mm-hmm.
than today.
It's entirely possible. Entirely possible. Your first sub-challenge was a challenge of self-respect. So self-respect and self-confidence can go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that challenge of self-respect would have been when you were a child. So that would make sense.
Okay.
And actually, I quoted that wrong. You are in that challenge now of self-respect. I was looking at the wrong page. That's where you're at now. There again, it's a number one challenge again. Just as you had the number one for the pinnacle, you're in a number one challenge right now. So the self-respect, the learning, standing on your own two feet, all of that.
Okay.
So you're really in that independent mode right now,
right.
relying on yourself and creating.
Mm-hmm.
The one when you were a child would have been a challenge of self-expression, so that people know you're. You wanted to. People may have told you that they more like to see you rather than not hear you, and may have been kept a bit more quiet when you were a child.
That's possible.
So those are some of the main areas in terms of lessons and experiences
mm-hmm.
for your life.
Right.
So I'm going to go back now into your main core elements and. These are the really big ones. The
okay.
first one is your purpose, your life purpose, what you came here to do. And it's based
mm-hmm.
on your name, your full birth name. And I have to say that all five of these core element numbers
mm-hmm.
are all intellectual numbers. Certain numbers can be categorized different ways. And all three of these, five, sevens, and ones, are all intellectual numbers. So you can be a very deep thinker on a lot of different levels. You can be a student. You can study
mm-hmm.
people. You can study
yes.
things. You're innately
yes.
curious.
Mm-hmm.
So that fits.
Yes.
Okay. So that the first one, your life purpose, is your number five. The main key word for a number five is freedom. Variety, change, and freedom. So you could be outgoing, versatile, adventurous, curious, clever, energetic, quick, expansive.
Mm-hmm.
And your main purpose is to be out around among people, sharing your enthusiasm with the world. And because of your gift of gab, you could be an ultimate salesperson. So I would say with your coaching and radio show and you have a previous acting career that I know of?
Not an acting career, but a performing career.
or performing career, okay?
Yeah.
All of this would be in line with your life's purpose.
Mm.
Now,
lousy salesperson, though. Never been, and that might be because of the lack of confidence part, where I don't think I'm good enough to be a good salesperson, but the part of schmoozing or telling stories or having fun with people, once I get past a certain point, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there are areas in which I would excel in sales, but not like the kind of person who knocks on doors and makes a gazillion phone calls and just people that he doesn't know. That's not really where I do well.
Yes. I would agree with what the amount of time that we've spent together. I would agree. This is ultimate salesperson, that is a broad interpretation,
mm-hmm.
because you have to find your niche in there which works for you. So I would agree with that. But I would say that you're naturally charming.
Why, thank you. He said charmingly. Go on.
And you are curious, from
mm-hmm.
what I've observed.
Yes.
Do you tend to overanalyze things? Overthink?
Sometimes. Sometimes I can be, I'm a little bit of a paradox in that I like a lot of information. And sometimes I can just look at the big picture and just make a quick decision. But other times, like I read every ingredient. Like if I go to the store, I read every ingredient, every label before I buy something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's part of it, but.
Yes.
I tend to, the way I work is I tend to gather a lot of information, become really obsessed with something until all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like, boing, this is what I'm doing. And then I become like a machine that will, like the Terminator, until I get what I want. And like, I'm just going, doing that thing until all of a sudden I have accomplished it.
Mm-hmm. And it's even more supported since all of your numbers are intellectual numbers. You're very big on analysis and curiosity,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
wanting to know the truth in all matters.
Oh, yes.
And this can actually work for you, or it can work against
mm-hmm.
you. You can overanalyze. It could affect relationships if you overanalyze a relationship. And then when you add in your challenges of self-respect and self-confidence,
mm-hmm.
then they can work at odds against one another.
Right.
So the main thing with a five is that they're freedom-loving, but you always remember that real freedom is living in alignment with your spirit, with your values, not trying to prove how independent you are.
Hmm.
Do you understand what that means?
I am trying to. Tell me more.
Let me give you an analogy. A lot of it has to do with where you're coming from when you make a decision towards freedom. Say an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to drink whenever I want to drink. And, you know, that's their definition of freedom. But where that core issue, where that drinking is coming from, is an illness.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a fear or something like that that's causing that. So if it's coming from a negative place that really isn't alignment with their true self, then it isn't freedom and actually can be a cage rather than freedom.
Right.
Now think of someone that you know, maybe a movie star or something, that when they walk into the room, they just exude confidence.
Mm-hmm.
They're not egotistical.
Right.
But you see the confidence in them. And because of that confidence, they have the freedom to make whatever decision is right for them.
Yes.
That's the difference. Being in alignment with who you are and your values and coming from it from a very positive rather than from a fear or negative situation.
I always call that like somebody who is very comfortable in their own skin.
Yes, exactly.
I've watched people like George Clooney, in person. I've watched Will Smith and how they are in a room, how they are around people, and it's completely this complete sense of ease. You don't feel that they're dealing with any kind of the pressure, even though they must be under tremendous pressure just dealing with all these strangers. And it's they're absolutely themselves.
And they're so comfortable they can act any way they want to,
mm-hmm.
cut up, do anything. And
sure.
And yes, exactly, that type of a thing. So and it's interesting now, your second number, your direction in life, is also a number 5. And this is based on your birth date. This is your life path, how you choose to accomplish your purpose. It can speak to your career or your way of life. And there again, you thrive on action. You require freedom, variety, change.
Mm-hmm.
You like to work with many different types of people and a variety mm-hmm. of situations.
Correct.
So some of the things like being a reporter, being on the newspaper, television, radio, being an actor, an entertainer,
right.
an explorer, all of that fits right in. So you are definitely on your right path in your
mm-hmm.
life. So going on to the next number, here's where your 7 comes in. We're talking about an inner desire. Inner desire is your comfort zone inside of yourself.
Hmm.
This is your motivation, what you want more than anything else. This is a place that you can go to when you need more comfort. It's also a place that a lot of other people don't see. This is more of the truth within yourself. Okay, and a 7, there again, is a number of intellect, but it's also a curiosity number and a seeker
mm-hmm.
of knowledge. Usually it's more esoteric or spiritual knowledge, but it could be more of a person that likes to go and read a lot and just read encyclopedias and do a lot of different things.
I was talking to somebody recently about that, how I used to have an encyclopedia, the World Book, and I would often just take a volume and open it up at random and just start reading.
Well, this is a comfort zone for you.
Mm-hmm.
7s can be, they can have a part of themselves that they don't easily share with other people. They can be very introspective, very
mm-hmm.
thoughtful.
Yes.
So do you find that when you're out among people, you can turn on that extrovert 5, great talker, get along great with everybody, but when you're by yourself and in your apartment, do you tend to like to be a little more quiet, maybe read a book, just kind of chill?
Well, in some respects, but I feel like I've sort of changed around a lot. First of all, I was a born introvert, and I was growing up, I was tremendously introverted and actually painfully shy, and it wasn't until, into really my early 20s that I started finding the personality that I was willing to share with the world. I was more of the person who would sit home and read a book years ago, although now I sit home and read the internet. I read the computer. I read the phone. I'll do a lot of those things. I like to do things that are sort of, I do like to absorb a lot of knowledge, read a lot of articles. So that may be where I do that. And I could also be out in the crowd and be very all alone. It depends on the circumstance. It's like if I'm able to have that moment where I can shine, then that's when the energy really goes crazy. That's where I'm like the Robin Williams thing happens, and I'm just nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Do you also are you intuitive?
Oh, very intuitive.
So this is another thing with the 5s and 7s,
mm-hmm.
is especially with the 7s, that you can be a very intuitive person, but at the same time, you may not necessarily allow everybody to see that or to know that. That's something that you might keep a little more closer to the vest until you know someone better.
I would say that might be true. I've certainly discovered that there have been people where I know what's going on with them before they know what's going on with them. And if I let them know about it, and you know, we're not close enough, they may just find it very off-putting.
Yes, exactly. And like you were talking about being introverted when you were younger, there again, that's your challenge, your main challenge of self-confidence working there. And
mm-hmm.
you sounds like you've worked that one out very, very well during your life, and you've actually used the energy of your other numbers to bring the extrovert out in you.
Okay.
Which the five will do. The five will do that.
No, I mean, I have that guy is available. I mean, if you've seen me, well, you haven't, but I've been on stage. I've performed in clubs. I'm kind of fearless now about singing in front of a group of people. Whereas, you know, if you knew me when I was in my teens, I mean, you couldn't have paid me enough money to do it.
Exactly. Yep. So you've hit that challenge head on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in your numbers that you chose to have when you came into the life, those numbers were set up so that you would face that head on. And you have grown and learned that lesson and are still learning it sounds like,
mm-hmm.
but certainly have a much better under control of it.
Well, you know, I mean, I see myself in my future being somebody who stands in front of a large room of people, you know, as somebody who coaches and transforms people. So that would be certainly is about as far away from the guy who, you know, sucked his thumb in the corner than that you can imagine.
And this is where those number ones come in that we've talked about, that you're in the one of in the number one challenges of being, being your own individual, doing
mm-hmm.
your own thing. And we're actually going to get to another number, but this number is called midlife power. It starts coming in around your mid to late 30s in your life. It's derived from both your birth name and your birth date, and it's a number one again. So you have all of these ones in your life right now that are help bolstering you in being your own individual and stepping out and doing things your way.
So, give me a little bit more about that, because I'm really not catching. So what happened in my 30s?
A midlife power is just extra energy and life experience that comes
uh-huh.
in around midlife, around 35 to the late 30s. Some people can manifest it as a midlife crisis, but it's just some extra energy of experiences that can come in and reinforce opportunities and things that can come into your life. And yours was a number one. So it can give you more opportunity to lead. You may become more ambitious or aggressive. You can
mm-hmm.
be even more creative, original, and clever. And you're in an area of pioneering new ideas and adding new methods to traditional systems. And that makes me think about your work that you do now, and that you told me you developed a little shortcuts with your work so that you can, your 9-to-5 job, so that you
right.
can get that work done even more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your system, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I created a little, I call it a mnemonic typing system that doubles or triples my already insanely fast typing speed.
Mm-hmm. And the one other core element we'll just touch on briefly is your outer life. This is your personality, the way people perceive you.
Mm-hmm.
There again, here's another seven that comes up. Now, they say some people, people will find you gracious and friendly,
mm-hmm.
but at times you could possibly be aloof and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of when you're in a studying mode. You
okay.
know, you're actually wanting to study in what the person's doing and getting to know them a bit more.
Now I see what you mean. Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
It can be something that you can. It says you can participate in the theater as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things are what, in a very abbreviated form, help you make up your soul chart. What we didn't go over is looking at the individual numbers that make up, say, like your five, your original life purpose five.
Mm-hmm.
The number, the two-digit number preceding that was a 1 and a 4, so the number 14. And that puts influences into that number 5, sort of like different ingredients in a chocolate cake. if you have different ingredients in a chocolate cake, the cake may look the same, but it tastes a little bit different. The approach is a little bit different. So we didn't have time to go through those, but those add extra information in there as to how you approach that main number.
Hmm.
So that's a quick overview of your soul chart.
So, like, so what would I do, like, now with the information that I have? That, like, where would this become very valuable for me?
Say you have a particular challenge in your life, and it, would it be possible if I bring up something that you mentioned to me before?
Sure.
You said that you've had some challenges in relationships at times?
Oh, yeah. Well, sure, definitely.
Okay. We could take a look at these numbers, and since some of the numbers right off say that relationships could be more of a challenge or more iffy, we could look into these numbers more deeply, especially looking into the numbers that make them up, and help you figure out, you know, why these didn't work, so that you can figure out what will work and what to look for
mm-hmm.
in your ideal mate. So that
okay.
It's almost like as a coach, you usually develop a niche and an ideal client.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, then this could give you an outline of an ideal mate and who to look for.
Oh, very interesting. So, yeah, I probably would benefit greatly from finding who that, you know, I can think of like external things or certain interests that it would be personality reasons, but maybe there's some other areas that I'm not looking at that might be made more clear
right
this way.
And I'll give another instance from a particular client. This particular client had some physical challenges that they could not overcome, and doctors couldn't figure out where they were coming from. And in looking at this person's numbers, their numbers indicated that they were extremely sensitive, very deep feeling, and it became quite obvious that they were having trouble dealing with those deep-seated feelings, had even actually blocked some of them, and that these deep-seated feelings and whatever they were, I'm going to assume traumas because I don't know, was actually starting to manifest in the physical and causing some very serious medical conditions.
Hmm. Very cool. And so what happened, what did the person use this with this information?
The person decided, this particular person with the set of numbers they had,
mm-hmm.
They actually needed more professional help in terms of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they needed a very special environment so they could very safely and gently explore whatever those issues were so that they didn't do any further harm to themselves. So that was outside of my purview as a coach. And I recommended that they, you know, seek some additional counseling from an actual qualified doctor. And also the person had some trust issues, so they would have to search to find someone they felt comfortable with so they could really feel like they could open up. So that's what happened with this particular person.
Mm. And that's, you know, in our world of coaching, is so, you know, we do have limitations. So
yes, and we always want to put the client first.
Mm-hmm.
Their healing, their comfort, their security, their confidentiality, all of that is paramount. And I don't hesitate to refer someone out to either another coach or to a medical professional when necessary.
Right. You know, I had somebody who approached me about you know, relationship coaching. And now, if relationships come up in the course of my coaching, you know, that's fine. I deal with whatever comes up. But somebody who comes specifically for a relationship coach. So I sent her to somebody I knew was an amazing relationship coach. And she had astounding results, and she'll be forever grateful.
Yes. And as I said, that's what any good coach does. Once they know that the person needs something specialized that they're not necessarily as versed in as someone else. It's always good to know a lot of different coaches and their specialties so that you can refer them out.
Mm. Well, great. So we're coming down to the last couple of minutes of our show. Our hour has gone by very fast.
It has.
It has. And so this was a very enlightening for me personally, very unusual opportunity for me to show, you know, who's behind the phone over here, and it might even be very shocking for me to listen to it.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I really appreciate your courage for putting yourself out
there. Thank you. So why don't you go tell everyone again where people can find you?
My website is www.elainelocker.com. That's ELAINELOCKARD.com. And there's information on there about myself. And the soul chart is also on the nav bar if someone wants to check that out. And I also do free energy scans if anybody is interested in having an energy scan done.
I can go for an energy bar. Would that be...
it might. It might. You might get
cool.
a pick-me-up from it, yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Elaine, I want to thank you very, very much for being with me tonight and for giving me my soul chart. I think we need a song, like a soul, like for Soul Train. We need a song, a soul chart song. Soul chart. And everyone, thanks for listening. This will be the last show for the month of June. I'm going on vacation, and we'll be back in July. And once again, you can find me, Andrew Poritz, Coach Andrew, at www.myfuturecoach.com. You can find me on Twitter at Coach Andrew. And you can find me on Facebook at Andrew Poritz. So we will see you in July. Have a great rest of June, and good night.
Good night.